for starting ourselves out and coming out with the right answer. Every person's life needs that. We gave the illustration with Admiral Byrd when he went on his expedition and got lost, and his point of center was the pole with his scarf tied to it, that every time he ventured out to find his spot and got lost, he could look back and find that pole. I pointed out there last week that in mathematics, that center, that point of reference is our decimal point. I pointed out that in literature, any literature in any language, the center, the point of reference is the laws of grammar. I pointed out that in things spiritual and things moral, that center, that point of reference, that you can look to for guidance, and that whatever happens in life, it is there for you to look to it. In things spiritual and things moral, it is Jesus Christ. You will note with me that especially in the past 20 years that you cannot depend on societal wrong and right for guidance. Everybody notice that. Many of us are afraid that the legality of the abnormal and natural homosexuality is creeping up on us. And if many of us die now and come back in another 30 years, we are going to wonder where we are because of society morality. That is what society calls wrong or right. It changes like every day. Not with God. God's moral principle remains stable, constant, fixed. That's the point of reference. That's our center. I pick up now on tonight's part of the lesson. Abundant living. Because while real abundant living is yet to come, but abundant living promised by Jesus Christ begins here. You notice the Bible, Paul did not say to the Philippians and the Colossians that you will be citizen of heaven after you die and resurrected. No. He said, you are. But Brother Mitchell, we don't reach heaven yet. But you see, in the church, in Christ, we are learning to live the heavenly life. Amen. Amen. And so it is. Abundant living requires optimism. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? As I will be showing over the next 20 or 30 minutes, Did you know that the Almighty God never intend for His people to be pessimistic? Wait. Let me give you another one. Did you know that God did not intend for us to be fearful people? Let me back up again. Did you know that the Almighty God did not expect for us, His people, to be timid? Careful, yes. But not fearful. Not pessimistic. Not timid. So, to live the abundant life, we must, and this is not made up by man, this is a fact. We must be people of faith, believing that the promises God made to His people, not only is God able to fulfill them, but if we permit Him, He will fulfill them. That the Almighty God wants His people, the Christian members of the body of Jesus Christ, to be people of optimism. I have this passage to come up further in the lesson, but let me bring it up now, and even if it is brought up again. Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13.
I know both how to be abased and know how to abound.
I know how, as a child of God, how to
be abased.
Be down there. That's abased, you know. That means you are down there. Things are not the way you'd want it to be. I know how to be abased, to be down there.
And I know how to abound.
I know how to be up there. Read on.
Everywhere and in? All things.
In all things.
I am instructed.
Wait, you notice the width of the encompassing. Everywhere and in all things.
I am instructed both to be.
I am instructed. Isn't it this man we're talking about knowledge? Huh? What the brother is saying there, I learn. I am instructed both
to be full.
To be full.
And to be hungry.
And to be hungry.
Both to abound.
Both to
abound.
Have much.
And to suffer need.
And to be in need. Wait. Is this man an optimistic person? Yes, he's going to tell you in the other verse. That's right. Read on.
I can do all things.
What?
I can do all things.
What?
I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
That's not a fearful person there. Definitely not. A person who can stand before you and tell you, I can do all things. And that means all the challenges that are before me, Jesus Christ can make me adequate for them. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. That is optimism. That is faith. But that does not belong only to Paul. It's not that God promised that strength, that attitude, that disposition only to Paul, but to all of us. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. Wait. No, it is not self-confidence. It is Christ's confidence. That's right. Christ did not expect the Christian to go through life in fear and timidity and pessimism. For us to really live the abundant life, we must be people of optimism. Are we there? The pessimist, the person who is fearful, doubtful, always quick to see and tell you what can't work, what will not succeed, what will go wrong. Yes, a lot of people are like that. An idea is brought up, and the person can give you half a dozen reasons why it will never work, it can't work, it will fail, etc. Just negative, negative, negative. Now, mark you, we are not talking about the person who weighs a thing and can come up with genuine reason and say, on this ground, I think that will fail. But watch here. A person with the right attitude usually also come up with some reason why or another approach that will make the thing succeed. The pessimistic person only see the hole in the donut. The optimist see the whole donut that can be eaten. So the pessimist says, if I don't try, I can't fail. What the pessimist is implying there, you know. Let me not worry, do anything. Because if I do something, failure going to come. Failure is in that person's mind. The optimist says, if I don't try, I cannot succeed. In other words, for me to succeed, I must try. That's the right attitude. Don't fail yourself before you try. Christ didn't want us to fail ourselves before we try and see what He can do in us and through us. What you find out here between these two, may I say, attitude or disposition, is the difference in attitude which makes for success in one and makes for failure in the other. Just their mindset and their attitude. Did you know that many of us fail in life simply because of the mindset with which we approach the thing? That is a fact. Almost anything you approach with fear and timidity and lack of confidence, you are not going to perform as good as you would if you approach it with confidence. We can literally incapacitate our bodies. That's right. We can literally help ourselves to fail. You hear about this thing, brainwashing? That's real, you know. A beautiful woman tell herself, I am ugly, I'm disfigured. Me no like how I look. And if she tells herself that over a period of weeks and days and months, if she's the most beautiful person ever walked this earth, she will still feel that, as country people would say, she's machiated. A person might not be gifted with the proper facial look and whatever. Tell herself, I am beautiful, I'm attractive. And there is no power you can use to convince her differently. You are going to do something and you tell yourself, that you are going to fail, you can't do it, this going to happen, that going to happen, most likely it will happen. In so many cases, we incapacitate ourselves. Optimism and positive thinking are necessary qualities of success. May I? The child of God who is the easiest to backslide and give up is the person who keeps telling him herself, I can't make it. I can't live the Christian life. Temptation is too this, and Satan is too this, and yes, Satan is real. Let nobody fool you. But God is stronger than Satan. And God is on your side. If you are a child of God and keep looking on the fact that spiritually you are going to fail, most likely you're going to end up a backslider or a weak Christian or a retarded Christian. If you reinforce your belief with the fact that God wants me to succeed, Jesus Christ wants me to succeed, the Holy Spirit wants me to succeed, and by Christ's help I will succeed, you will succeed. So as I've just said, optimism and positive thinking, our attitude, these are necessary qualities of success. We must keep this in mind. I've stated it. God does not want us to go through life with just fear and timidity. Watch it. I want to make sure. There are things of which we should be afraid. Huh? Yes. So, God expects us to be careful people as we go through life. I can list a lot of things that hurricane is coming. 180, 200 miles an hour. It's wise to be afraid of the hurt that can come to you. If you just go outside and just walk, tell yourself you're going to walk out, you're a Christian, not a thing will happen to me. That's foolish. That is what the Bible calls tempting God. So whenever you read in the Bible about don't tempt God, it's when you start, and a lot of times it's because of your lack of faith, you know, you are going there to test God to see how far you can go, and He will be there with you. God doesn't want you to test Him like that. Lightning, rain, lightning is flashing and what. And you know the danger that green tree conduct electricity, you know that. You know that metal conduct electricity. And you decide that because you are a Christian and the Almighty God make all these promises to you, you can just shelter under the zinc outside. In fact, you can hold it in your hand. No. That's idioticness. That's foolish. So there are some things that God wants us to be wise about, be fearful, because they have in themselves danger. But God now does not want us to go through life in fear and timidity. We keep crossing dangerous bridges that we have not yet reached. where am I going to get my mortgage money 3 months from now? Why 3 months from now? Because you have 3 months of mortgage put away. Isn't that a blessing? But you're not looking on that. You are fearful, you are timid, say you're going to lose the house. You are not looking on the fact that, thank God, if God provides these 2 or 3 months that I have put away, will He not provide the rest? You're not looking on that. So you go through the next few months fearful. God does not, that attitude and lack of faith is not from God. Look at the promise of Jesus Christ in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Look at it. Read.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind.
Isn't this a wonderful promise? The type of being afraid of everything, being pessimistic about life, being negative about everything, and we go through life like that, that is not wise and it is not from God. Yeah? Do you have an ailment that has lingered with you over the past year or 2 years or 10 years or 20 years? Always live with the hope that one day God may send a cure. You see, the Almighty God not going to tell you like Paul, because he's not doing that anymore, that my grace is sufficient for you. That might be His will, you know. It might be the will of God that He will give you enough strength to live with whatever ailment we may have. Huh? God is able. But since God has not said that to me, let me not give up on God. Let me live with optimism, with hope, with faith, that one day this ailment may just go, and I don't even know how it go. It may just leave me. The Almighty God may just bring about a cure, because God is able. He has not given us what? The spirit of fear, but of power, sound mind, love. All that is positiveness. Optimism and positive attitudes are necessary qualities for success. A child of God should be positive and optimistic. I'm going to give about 7 to 8 biblical reasons. A child, let me repeat, a true child of God, with all the challenges that surround us, and challenges surround us, problems, There's hardly I can say any adult here that is not faced with some challenge or the other. But in the midst of all these challenges, the Almighty God has given us reason to be optimistic, to be positive, to be people of faith, to be men and women of confidence. I start with Paul. The passage that was read. What I'm doing, I want to make sure you understand, is God's word gives us reason to be positive, to be optimistic, and to be men and women of faith and confidence. We have read where Paul said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me. That gift from God, that ability was never meant to be Paul's alone. Then again, through the pen of Paul, I read another place where the Almighty God says to his people, if God be for us, who can be against us? You get the drift there? If the Almighty God, who has all power, if the Almighty God, to whom everything is subject, everything is under God's control, if the Almighty God is on your side, who can be against you? Isn't that reason to go through life with confidence?
It's important, however, that we make sure God is with us.
I read in another place the passage, of course, I just quote from is Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? But I read in another place, I will fear no evil. But he couldn't just stop there, so. Truly. For thou art with me. This is the reason I will fear no evil. Because you, God, you are with me. You are my rod and you are my staff and you are everything. May I? It's not some smart aleck with great imagination that put these things together in the Bible. The Bible is from God. And these are living people, at least the world like you and me, sharing their faith, their optimism, their confidence. I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. That is Psalms 23, verse 4. I read in another place, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your mind cause you to miss the promises of God and the ability of God to guide, to keep, to direct, and to help.
So Jesus Christ in the book of St. John 14 verse 1 says, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 27, 1 through 3, that I've shared with you here in the past. Turn to it for me.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
May I? The Lord, you see, in verse 1, the Lord, the Lord is what?
Is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Watch here. David is saying, I can trust God far, here, and now. That's verse 1. Verse 2.
When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my
when
flesh.
When the wicked eat my enemies and my foes, notice the tense. Came. You know why this is important? David is saying, I can trust God because of because of yesterday. When the wicked,
even
my enemy,
came,
this is past experience.
They stumbled and fell.
In other words, God showed himself a help for me in the past. So I can trust him because of yesterday's experience. Notice verse 3.
Though an host should encamp against...
Wait! That no come yet. That is the... Though an host should encamp...
Against me. My heart shall not fear.
Thank God, I can trust him for T-O-M-O-R-R-O-W. Isn't that wonderful? That's why these men like David live the abundant living and accomplish so much for God in spite of their failures. I can trust him in verse 1 for here and now. You read verse 1 and you see that he's talking about present situation. Verse 2, I can trust him because of yesterday. You read verse 2 and you'll see that David is talking about past experience. I can trust him for tomorrow. You'll see in verse 3 that he's talking about the future. May God help us to have that confidence. Whenever you are faced with challenge, look on some of the things that God has led you through. Some challenge in the past that you feel your judgment had come, and at the end of it, God led you through them. In closing,
faith, optimism, positiveness, and confidence has been. Do I have your attention? Let me repeat. Faith, optimism, positiveness, and confidence has been the characteristic of every true children of God throughout. I was going to let us read these passages, some of these passages, but I won't. I just list these characters. When you look on Abraham's life, we are here, a young man grew up in idolatry. What do you mean, Brother Mitchell? Abraham's father was an idolater, worship idol. And one day the Almighty God gave Abraham a vision and said, Abraham, I want you to leave your daddy's house to a place that I will show you. By the time you read down to the other verse where God had stopped talking, the Bible tells us that Abraham departed from his daddy's house. That's faith. That's confidence. That's optimism. Every child of God throughout. We take Moses. The Bible tells us that when Moses came at age, the implication there, when Moses was old enough to start making decisions for himself, the man make an awesomely big decision for God. Refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. May I? We are closing. Have you ever imagined how could Moses have made a decision like that at that age? When we are young and foolish, what do we yearn after? If my daddy was rich, you see, we yearn after wealth, and that's our dream. When we are young boys, that's our dream. Lot of money and lot of bicycles. My days it was bicycles. And cars. People like all Jonathan, it's fast car. How could Moses, the greatest power in Egypt, call Pharaoh's grandson? How could that man make a decision to decide to give that up because he put so much value on spiritual things? That's faith. That's optimism. That's belief in God. Not only Moses. What is the point, Brother Mitchell, I'm showing as I close, that faith, optimism, positiveness, and confidence has been the characteristic of every true child of God throughout. Joshua. I love Joshua and Caleb. And a point that came up in this morning's lesson is the fact that leaders, church leaders, must condition themselves to stand alone if they are ever called upon to do that. They must make sure they are sincere and they are going according to their conviction, enlightened by God's word. Because when the rest of the men who spied out the land brought back good news, Caleb and Joshua were in the minority.
It's not like you said, seven brought back bad news and five brought back good news. No.
10 of them brought back bad news. And these two lonely characters, Caleb and Joshua, stop the people and say, wait, we can take this city.
Many of us would look and say, well, all the brothers or all the sisters are going that direction. Not if they are going in a direction that is contrary to your sincere, deep down conviction based on truth. When Caleb was 80 odd years old, why stop, you know? I don't know if I'll ever reach there. I'm now 77. But, you know, I'm thinking, it's time I start thinking about retiring. But then, if I think about Caleb, when Caleb was 80 odd years old, he said, give me this mountain. Caleb says, I am as strong today as I was when we went to spy out the land. That was 40 years ago. They were men of optimism. David, well, we just look at him. So, brothers and sisters, the abundant life, that aspect of it that is lived here, the Almighty God wants us to be men and women of faith, men and women of optimism, men and women of confidence, but notice, not self-confidence, but God's confidence. That is, we will go through life knowing that God will work with us, through us, for us, and by us. And whatever the challenge we face, they are never too big for the Almighty God if we are going through life with faith and confidence in God. All of God's faithful men and women we read in the Bible. You just need to read the book of Hebrews chapter 11. They were men and women of optimism, faith, positiveness, and confidence. The Almighty God meant for us too to be people like that. We need not. God does not want us to go through life in fear. Unless that fear is directed towards reverential fear for Him. If you are here tonight, you are not a child of God. Get yourself in Christ's body, the church. And Jesus Christ will start helping you to build faith and confidence. We stand and sing.